the cross.
We are delighted you're here with us today. As we like to say, welcome home. This is a place to be called home. This is a place of grace. And we say no judgment zone. It just means it's okay if you're not okay. It's okay to be who you are and what you are. God loves you just as you are, and so do we. And we're grateful we're here. We really believe that you're a gift from God, and God here has you here for a reason, and he really wants to speak to you today. And whether that's in the music or sitting still or in the message, he is here to love on you, and so we invite you to be open to it. And so in your worship folder, we want to recognize your presence with us. There's a connection card that looks like this. If you could be so kind to fill out the front. If you have been with us many times, you know, if the information is correct, we just want to recognize that you're here with us. A name will be great. And also, man, whatever's on your heart, you want us to be praying with you, we love to pray and be a blessing. So however we can do that, we have people, we have a group and our staff, and I pray on Saturday for everybody on the list. That's my quiet time before I come here on Sunday. So just a little announcement. So thanks to congregation for your support and your investment in the staff. The staff went to Arizona for a conference, which we learned a lot. So that's a warning. No. But it was really a blessing. We did learn a lot. It was great. And then also picked up a new grandchild along the way. So that was good too. So we are very grateful for summer. Thank you. And very grateful to have the team there and just time with the team too, to just kind of sit back and dialogue with everything. So we're grateful for that. And my prayer with that would be just, for God us to sift what we've taken in and what is it that he wants us to do with it and how to share that with you. But it was a blessing. And if you want to come along next year, let me know. Because this is a big conference, and there's lots of things to do there at this conference. It's a great opportunity for us all to grow.
And a bunch of food.
Yeah.
It's food.
Yeah. Where's Doug? Doug kept, every time Doug does an announcement, this church loves food. Doug, this church has food galore. They have people walking around hawking, like, have this, get this. I mean, it's ice cream, it's bacon. They have a whole bakery that they just bake food, and they're bringing out those, what's those silver?
Churros, no.
No, that's it.
Churros.
Churros? Whatever?
Churros.
Churros.
Churros. Churros.
I don't know. They had Klondike so bars all the time. I mean, there's just so much food. It's a 5-pound conference, at least. That's the way I look at it. Oh, wait, we're in the book of Hosea, so back to our world. And probably I'm hoping, as you're like the people I've been talking to, you're a little surprised how relevant this Old Testament book is today. And maybe a little surprised of, like, this book that we probably usually never talk about, how deep it really is and important. And I hope that today is another little surprise. That God awakens us into his heart once more. So with that, let's rise. Let's begin our worship together. Bless you. Everybody say, bless you.
Bless you.
It should stop it right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for, your presence. And we thank you for being here now. In this midst. And God, this is your time. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you to speak, to mend, to hug where it needs to be. Lord, we need you. And so, Lord, we turn to you with our heart and our minds and our voices to focus on you and your goodness. And so we thank you for the good you're going to do and the good you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope nation. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. And now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Sing it again. The Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. The Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Heavenly Father, we pray for you. We just pray to you today that you shine your light in every corner, every crevice of this earth. Lead your people. Help us make disciples of others. Help us share your gospel with the world. Give us the courage. Light our path. Guide our steps. We pray this humbly, knowing that you are the creator of everything. We love you and we're so grateful for your faithfulness to us. Thank you.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song or a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
King of endless worth,
the King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
You may be seated as we bring the children forward. They have been here with their families and had a special little thing to prepare for our worship later on, and they're going to treat us with a song. So everybody knows what Wednesday is? Ash Wednesday. And so later in the end of the service, the kids are modeling that. We're gonna bury the Alleluia during the season of Lent. Because sometimes we got to remind you that Jesus went to a cross, and we got to sit at the cross, and we got to give up that praise. And that part of Lent is giving up, waiting for Christ to come to that great time that we do, as the kids were doing, pop up and say, Alleluia. So we're going to do that later at the end of the service. If you want to take out your worship folder, and you can follow along in the outline as we get today. So a little belated Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, I can see the excitement in the room for that. There we go. I was going to ask how many people really like this Hershey chocolate Hallmark holiday, and apparently not many of you. Well, I'm not a big fan of the holiday either that much, and part of the reason I wasn't a big fan is because I could never get the right gift. And most of the time I felt like Christy's response is how she used to respond as a preschool teacher when a kid brought a project up to her. Like, oh, that's a masterpiece. It's a scribble. It's a masterpiece. How beautiful. And I felt like she was just being so kind to my scribbling. And then one year, I got her a gift she really loved. And the difference of that gift wasn't the price. It was knowing her. There's a difference between knowing about her and knowing her. See, giving a card, chocolate, flowers, nothing wrong with that, but that could be anyone's gift. She wanted a gift that showed that I really knew her personally, intimately. You could know a lot about a person. You can know their whole biography, their accomplishments, their reputation. I mean, just go through social media. And yet, still know nothing about them at all. You can admire from a distance without ever entering into a relationship with someone. And here's the painful part. Sometimes we do the same thing with God. We give him gestures without giving ourselves. Sometimes our religion deceives us into thinking that we know God simply because we know about him. Israel had sacrifices, they had festivals, they had stories, they even had the name Israelite, their identity given to them by God. See, Hosea is about Israel not losing their religion, it's about Israel losing a relationship. God says through Hosea, there is no faithfulness, no hesed, no knowledge of God. The tragedy isn't that Israel stopped going to church. The tragedy is that they stopped needing him. And that's exactly why we need these words from Hosea and why these words from Hosea can come with a sting. Because they reveal a relationship where love has gone missing. And so hear these words, Isaiah, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love or no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committed adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in its languish, and also the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Number one, you know, it's God calls the people to court. This chapter opens, Hosea brings a courtroom drama to the scene. Dun, dun, dun. I can't do it. Hear, O Israel, hear the word of the Lord. O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, with you. This is God's subpoena. God issues a subpoena because the covenant love has betrayed, and betrayal is serious. This is not a letter of a courtroom drama of a bitter, angry, revengeful husband, but this is a grieving husband. This God is not a distant judge, but a judge who loves us. He's not a judge who's summoning some stranger into his courtroom. He's a husband confronting his wayward spouse, trying to keep her for the consequences of her action. The lawsuit exists because there's a multitude of violations to the covenant, their relationship. God lists out the accusations. He says there's no faithfulness. There's no steadfast love here. There's no hesed. There's not even knowledge of me. God's accusations, it's not about ritual failure. It's about relationship, relational betrayal. God didn't say, hey, you don't bring me flowers anymore. No, he doesn't say, you failed in keeping my rituals. You don't know how to do my rituals right. Don't you know you bow 3 times, pat your head, and rub your tummy? Don't you get it? No. He says the relationship has collapsed to nothing. We are two ships passing each other, and you don't see me. His heart is broken. Because what God really wants, he says in Hosea 6:6, he says, I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God desires a relationship. See, A, the covenant lawsuit because of relationship. It's because of relationship. God had bound himself to his people in love. He rescued them. He provided for them. He pledged his faithfulness. And he has remained faithful even in all their unfaithfulness. And they can't even see his faithfulness anymore. In the point that the relationship, the trust has been broken. And so B, they know about God, but they don't know God. They thought they knew God because they still had religion. They knew the words. They went through the actions. They did the sacrifices. They went through all the right motions. They know the facts about God, but they don't know anything about him. God doesn't save us to be academics of religion. He doesn't save us that you're a scholar of the Bible. Or just come around when it's convenient. I mean, this is the struggle of the church. We know all the right words, and yet we can still miss his heart. And to be really open, for me, in this profession I've been in for a long time and studied a lot for, and over the times I've been through struggles and pains and hurts, it's easy to get calluses on the hearts. It's easy to just do the motions and do the right thing and just say the right words and not feel the love or experience the love anymore. You fall into doing. You work out of your knowledge, not out of a relationship. Jesus warned about this. Matthew 7:22. Jesus says that many will claim to have prophesied, cast out demons, perform miracles in his name, and he will respond, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. People doing miracles in his name, for his name, and yet It was insufficient because they had no genuine relationship with God. Matthew 15:7, Jesus says this to us as a warning. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's something that happens to us. It can happen to us all. And number two, the symptoms of empty religion. Hosea lists the fruits of a broken covenant. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committed adultery. He's talking about, hey, there's a breakdown in the commandment. There's a breakdown in this covenant. That's what the commandments are. This was a covenant. I, the Lord of God, rescue. This is how we're going to do life together. Israel's heart has drifted away into the culture and is far away from God. And this is not just Israel's problem. I mean, I'm sure you're like me. You feel the undertow of the culture that's constantly pulling at us, then constantly putting pressure on us and trying to shape us and mold us in ways and things that are away from God. It's trying to divide us. It's very interesting. One of the things that at the conference, the one guy said, you know, if you think the Ten Commandments are hard to follow, try to follow the commandments of social media. Ever moving, shifting, so many of them. And you wonder why kids are so depressed and empty. See, when God is no longer first, everything else collapses. When God is not truly known, everything falls like dominoes. And this is where they are, and this is where our world is, and this is where you and I find ourselves at times. See, what happened to be is sin became habitual. It wasn't like, hey, it just happened here or there that they sinned. But the scripture says it breaks all bounds. Sin became the normal rhythm of life rather than the exception. And the problem is their conscience was dull to it. It no longer pricked their hearts like this is wrong. What once shocked them now feels ordinary. What once felt broken now feels normal. And if you live long enough and you're aware of things long enough, you can look back and say, it's even true of us, isn't it? I mean, do you remember what it used to be like? What we used to get upset about? Like the first cuss word I heard on MASH? That's an old reference. If you want to go even further, if you want to think about how far the family has fallen and deteriorated, go back and look at an old family show, like The Waltons, or even Lucy. They couldn't be in the same bed together. They had to have one foot off the bed. Ain't that way anymore, is it? And we're not even shocked by it. We just go, that's just the way it is. So you see, when God becomes an idea, we become the center. If God is reduced to a symbol, a concept, a religious accessory, something always takes its place. And that something is us. See, empty religion can actually feel spiritual, but it often is just self-centered. It's what I want. It's what works for me. What makes me comfortable. What makes me happy. It's my feelings over any truth. And my feelings actually become the truth. And so God is just an object, just a symbol that's out there. But reality, I am the God and I can decide. And you wonder why our world doesn't know what normal is, because it's up to every individual to decide that. And when you become the center, true love disappears. Because Hesed is always looking outward. Hesed is always looking to the neighbor, not ourselves. And the frightening thing about empty religion, it's easy to practice it without noticing it. We drift into a habit. We drift into a tradition. And we don't even realize it. Until the next generation comes and says, why do we do that? And we can't answer it. Because we lost the heart of it. Paul writes Timothy in the second letter, 3:5. An apostle warns and says, he warns them, says, to those people who have the form of godliness but deny its power. The danger is that we elevate the things of God, the things we do of God, of worship or service or ritual, like even coming to Ash Wednesday and getting ashes, and we elevate that ritual. But we were so in tune that I did it, I checked the boxes, and then we don't understand how that action is supposed to be connected into the heart. The heart that is transformed by the power of God that we cannot do on our own, but He does, and we long for and need for, and we think, oh, I'm just good. I just need to do this ritual so I can just go back to who I am. That's what Paul is warning about. They are just in this ritual. They lost its power of the meaning of the gospel. What happens is three, the world suffers when a covenant is ignored. The world suffers. Therefore, the land mourns. It's a rather striking image. See, A, sin is never private. It's never private. We often view sin as personal preferences. It's my right to my freedom, and I can decide, you're not going to tell me, and it's okay because it only affects me. It doesn't affect anybody else. This is my house. This is my life. I do what I want. You're not telling me. The scripture says otherwise. Scripture says our brokenness spills over into our families, into our communities, into our world. See, what Scripture's saying here is that the church really impacts how we live as a church, impacts the world. And here's the truth. The healthier the church is, the healthier the world is. If the churches are strong and healthy, all boats rise in the world because the blessings, the anointing of God overflows onto the people. We see it over and over in Scripture, and we've seen it in our own time in history. And so if that is true, so is the opposite. If the church is weak, the church is unhealthy, therefore all boats sink. Sin never stays contained. It always spills over into the world that God loves. And B, the land mourns. When Adam fell and sinned in the garden, creation was cursed. It fell. And because of that, we are no longer in harmony with creation or the Creator. I mean, creation's in survival of the fittest. But just think about what happens even a little bit in Genesis, a few chapters. That the world gets so terrible, so forgetting about God, that God even grieves that He created man. And the earth is mourning. And the earth then, because of man's evil, has to suffer the judgment of God with a flood. I mean, Platonic plates, right? Moving mountains, volcanoes, eruptions. Scientists, some think the world even changed its axis because of it. The world suffered the weight of our sin. Hosea says, even the fish suffer because of your sin and evil. See, Hosea echoes the reality. One broken marriage echoes into children, into grandchildren. Everyone suffers. Romans 8:22, Paul says, creation groans in labor pains. The bad winter we had is creation groaning. We're not supposed to have those. But really, it's groaning. It's like, this is not the paradise it was. It's reminding you that this world's going to go. There's a new world awaits. This is not it. It's groaning because the weight of our sin, the curse it has. See, what happens is a reversal of blessing. God intended for us to flourish. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. They were put in a special plot of all creation, God's garden. A garden that was flourishing, that was abundant, had everything they needed and ever wanted. It was perfect, it was paradise. There was no rain or storms. It was 70 degrees in sunshine. You never got sunburn. It was perfect. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. God rescued the Israelites, gave them the promised land of milk and honey. This is land like no land they've ever seen before. It has fruit like they've never seen before. Big, abundant fruit. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it, what? Abundantly. Why? Because God comes and knows how to give good to his children, and he wants his children to flourish, and you flourish with him, and he wants to pour out his blessings. But when a covenant is abandoned and broken and betrayed, instead of blessings and life, it brings decay and death. Yeah, God issued a subpoena because betrayal is serious. And this law is at full strength. It shows us the emptiness of religion does not merely fail to save. It actively damages the world that God loves. And if this was a human relationship, this is where the story would end. In fact, it probably would have ended a lot sooner, if we're honest. But this is God. And number four, God's covenant love is not empty. It's not empty. And here the gospel begins to shine. God does not walk away from his case. He doesn't abandon a courtroom. Instead, what does he do? Instead, he takes action. He takes action for us. A, God fulfills what we cannot. God is not searching for better ritual. He desires that our hearts be transformed by his love. And here's the astonishing truth. The one who brings the lawsuit is also the one who resolves it. The judge steps down from his throne. He removes his robe. And the judge takes the place of the accused. And the verdict over you is changed forever. This is what happens at the cross. See, Christ be is the true knowledge of God. Christ is the true knowledge of God. And Jesus is no longer a distant or abstract idea or thought. See, if you want to know God, what you have to do is just look at Christ. A Christ who's what? Eating with sinners. Who gets a reputation as a glutton and a drunkard. Forgiving the guilty, touching the unclean. And even the one who has to carry his own cross to his death. At Calvary, God's hesed becomes visible. Jesus fulfills the covenant we broke. He bears the judgment we deserve. He restores the relationship that we could not restore in our own and replaces the empty religion with his love and grace. The courtroom that we walked into, to the presence of God, we walked into fear and judgment that we do not deserve to be in the presence of a holy, almighty God and that we should be condemned and damned. And yet now we come into the courtroom as a courtroom of grace. Because of Christ. See, God is better at forgiving than you are at sinning. God is better at forgiving than you are at sinning. Number five, from empty religion to covenant life. Isaiah 1:11 says, God is tired of sacrifices without hearts. Have you ever driven a car and you're driving and you get to your location, wherever you're going, and maybe it's in the driveway as you pull and you turn the car off or you step out and you just suddenly go, I don't remember driving. Have you done that? Never like drove and you don't even remember when you get there, like like your mind was someplace else? None of you have ever done that? Okay. I was like, I can't be the only one. I've seen you drive. All right. But what is it? Like, you're present, but you're not aware. And that's how faith can feel. Jesus prays this in John 17:3. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is not just a destination where we're going to be someday. Eternal life, the taste of eternal life now, is that we know God. For eternal life, when it's fulfilled, we get to know God and be face to face with the Holy God. But now we see in part what we will see in full. It's not the fact, what earth is going to be paradise. The fact is we're going to be in the presence fully with God. Amen? It's that you know Him. And to know Him is to see His Son that He sent who revealed Him. It's knowing God is with you and always, and He's present. He's here in the waters of baptism where He chooses you. He's here. He's in the Word where He speaks to you. He leads you, guides you, walks with you. And it's at this table where He feeds you. Feeds the very part of you that you cannot feed, your soul, that you so desperately need. See, the Word or baptism, Lord's Supper, these are not rituals or empty symbols of the church. This is the means of grace by which we receive Christ Himself in us. His very presence. See, covenant life is not a bargaining with God. It's living in a reality that's already been given to you by God. And that reality is that relationship of grace, of love. So many times I think we look at grace as, like, I sinned, so I lost all my grace, so I got to come to church, and or I got to go confess, or I got to receive communion so I can fill myself back up in grace and I can be okay. Again, God is better at forgiving than you are sinning. You are in a state of grace. You are in a state and relationship of grace. God can't love you anymore or love you any less, depending on whatever you do, because His love is constant, faithful, steadfast, has said. And our love for Him flows through us out of what we've received. It flows through us because of who we are. Not because we strive, because God has given. It's a gift that you can't outspend, that never wears out, that is always there. You might not be aware of it, but it's there. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. He doesn't abandon you. So let's look at our memory verse, Lamentations 3:22. Let's read together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Look, Israel failed. We fail. But God's hesed will never fail. Empty religion says, check the boxes, live life by what feels good. Covenant love says, I am his beloved child, and therefore as his beloved child, I will live as his beloved child. So today, the invitation is simple, and it's simply this. Let's come back to truly knowing God. Let's come back again to knowing him. It's one of the reasons why we have the Call Disciple Huddle that we offer. Because the main thing of that Call Disciple Huddle, the main drive is to help us be vibrant followers of Jesus. Vibrant followers of Jesus who know God, who live in God's presence daily. And he wants that, us to know him. He's revealed himself to us in his word, in Jesus, who is the word made flesh, and by his spirit that leads us and guides us through his word, that the Lord desires us to come to know him, to worship him, and how to worship him, and worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's who he is. And so the God who calls his people to court is the same God who walks out beside them, forgiven, and calls them his own. So today, you don't have to pretend to know God, because in Christ, God has chosen you to know him. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're a God of a love that's not just some emotional feeling, but actually that goes in action for us and makes the way where there is no way. Makes a way into our darkness of our heart that might be hard or calloused or pulled back in selfishness of us on the throne. And you don't come with a stick, but you come with an invitation to say, come get to know me. Come, walk in my ways. For when you do that, you follow that light. It leads to the truth, and it leads to life in Christ, through Christ, now and everlasting. A life that flourishes. And so, Lord, we come to you humbly, and we confess wherever our heart has calluses, wherever we have drifted, we come and ask your grace, not that it may, like we're making some exchange. Not that because we make this confession now that all has been good because of your son, but we make this confession that we may know and hear those words again. That we may be reminded because of your love, we are forgiven. And so it's my honor and privilege as a called and ordained servant to announce unto you that all your sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. He has set you free from his courtroom of grace, not to be off on your own, but to walk with you as forgiven. And so, Lord, as we walk together in this broken world where we have broken relationships and broken hearts and pains and groanings that we long for you to come and just free you from it. God, we cast those to you. We lift them up to you that you hear our prayers and you answer. And so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so it is, as his children, we have an opportunity to continue our worship. And in that worship, we are just responding to the love that God gives us and to his gifts that he gives us. And we just honor him with it. And that's what we do with our tithes and offerings. We are honoring him. And we're also saying that this love and his gifts are to work through us together. And we bring those together so we can be a blessing and we can flourish and bless, just like Israel did to the world when it was healthy, We long to be that church that can be a blessing that overflows into this community. And we do that by pulling our gifts together. And so in your worship folder is an offering envelope or the text to give or the QR code. Also, in the back of your connection card, man, if you would like to be baptized or want the daily devotions based on the messages, be emailed to you. Or that discipleship training, like, hey, I really want to become more vibrant and follow Jesus. I really want to become more aware of God's presence in my life and be able to walk with him. And that's part of what it means to be a disciple, man. We would love to help you with that. And so if you click that box, we will follow up with you in the next opportunities. The Lenten family service is today, so skip that. But we do need some help for Ash Wednesday soup supper, and there are some needs for more soup and more salad. So if you feel so kind to bless us with your culinary gifts, we would be greatly appreciated. And it will be great. And then also, there's a 10 of Women's Hope Coffee and Cars detail that's in the bulletin. Would greatly appreciate those joining in for that service as I think that's going to be a blessing to the seminary students. I'll just let you know, sometimes cemeteries, did I say that right? It's the same thing, let me know, I'm telling you. You seriously go there to die, and you can't wait to get out. And so your cards of encouragement are really helpful. So that's where I'm getting, okay? I was trying to get there. Hey, a couple hours of sleep, lots of plane, all right? So as we continue our worship, you're welcome to put your offering envelope and your connection card into plates as we continue.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And with the ransom in glory, his face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Everybody sing it. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.